Judges 21, verse 1 to verse 25. What a confusing chapter this is. You see, sin always does complicate things. Little sins, at the start, produce tremendous effects, serious consequences in the extreme. And as we know, even eternal consequences. But here we can see the consequences even in the life of Israel. You see, Israel has taken just a vengeance on the tribe of Benjamin. And in course of taking vengeance on Benjamin, in bringing the judgment of God upon them for their sin, they made a vow at Mizpah. Not one of us will give his daughter in marriage to a Benjamite. Now, whether this was right or not, I don't know. But of course, now this means that the people of Israel are in a dreadful trouble. The tribe of Benjamin is going to die out. They've killed a good many of the Benjamites, and now they've prevented marriage and the bearing of children and the continuation of the tribe. And so the people go to Bethel, they sit before God until the evening, verse 2, they raise their voice, they weep, they cry out, why has this happened? Well, it's happened because of sin. Why should one tribe be missing from Israel today? Because of the consequences of sin. Go back over the previous chapters. Early the next day, they got up and they built an altar, they worshipped, they offered sacrifices and so on. And they took steps to carry on their judgment. They looked to see which people had not come to take vengeance on the Benjamites, because they had vowed that those who did not appear for the Lord would be put to death. And it turned out that the men of Jabesh-Gilead had offended in this way. And so the Israelites go to Jabesh-Gilead and they slaughter there, but they leave alive the 400 young women at Jabesh who had never slept with a man, virgins. And they brought them to the camp at Shiloh. And so they gave these virgins to the Benjamites to provide wives for them so that children could be born and the tribe of Benjamin would not go out and Israel lose a tribe in Benjamin. They had said, cursed be anyone who gives his daughter or to a Benjamite as a wife. But this wasn't the same, they felt. They weren't doing it by a voluntary giving. It was a kind of judicial statement. And then they found there was not enough to meet the needs for the Benjamites. And so they devised a scheme for the finding of other virgins at Shiloh at a festival. And they turned a blind eye to the Benjamites stealing the virgin daughters dancing at Shiloh. And so, at that time, the Israelites, verse 24, left that place and went home to their tribes and clans, each to his own inheritance. Yes, but what have they left behind them? Murder, violence, rape, sin, and then judicial vengeance, and all these schemes. What about the poor young women and so on? They've tried to discipline. They've tried to reclaim the thing. They've made their vows. We have to be careful about what we say. They've sorrowed before God. They've worshipped. They've taken care. But they've been disobedient. There's all sorts of subterfuges going on. There is a measure of unity among the people. They want to receive the afflicted back. But it's all a very muddled chapter. It's all confusion and complication. The book of Proverbs, chapter 14, verse 12, chapter 16, verse 25. There is a way which seems right to a man. Oh, yes. And in the beginning, it might seem very smooth and easy. But the end thereof are the ways of death. My friend, speaking to you, I'm glad to be able to speak on Judges 21. It wouldn't be the chapter I would jump to take a conference or anything. It wouldn't be my most popular chapter. But here it is in the Word of God. It shows us what sin does, how it brings complication and confusion and sorrow. But I thank God I live in the days of the New Covenant, the days of the free and full declaration of the gospel, above all the days of Christ in all his glory. I preach Christ. I need Christ. I trust Christ. Why? Because he is the end of all my sin. He is my righteousness before God. His Spirit brings me to Christ, brings me to salvation. There is no hope outside of Christ. Brother and sister, we all have baggage. We're all flawed. We're all sinners. Let's put the right word on it. But the blood of Jesus Christ does cleanse us from all sin. And the righteousness of Christ is the robe of righteousness for us. Let us go on in confidence. We can't put the milk back in the bottle, but the rest of our life begins now. Let us renew our vows to the Lord, and whatever the locust has eaten in the past, may we not mortgage the future by looking back to the past. Learn from this chapter. Don't go into sin. Don't make rash vows. Don't get into complications and subterfuges, but sin always brings that. But let us now look forward, trusting in Christ, knowing that he who has begun a good work in us will perfect it to the day of Christ Jesus. If any unbeliever is listening to me, I simply do not know how you go on living in this utterly fallen world, sin within and sin without, confusion everywhere, death on the road, without having Christ. Oh, come to Jesus Christ now. There is no salvation in any other, but there is full and free salvation in him. Whatever has happened in the past, whatever you have failed in the past, negatively failed to do, positively committed, it matters not. Cast it all upon Christ, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his God's Son, will cleanse you from all sin. Don't go on struggling without any hope in the world. Christ is the only hope. Don't go on without the true God. You will have a God, but he'll be a false God, an idol. And there is a way which seems right to you, but the end of it is death. Oh, come to Christ, I plead with you. May God bless these few remarks upon this very difficult chapter. May this word from Judges 21 do some good for the glory of God and the blessing of all who hear it. Amen.